From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud, talking on prospects, getting ready for the 2018 NHL Draft. This is the Bleed Blue Show. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes could be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. So we've got the draft in about, two Fridays from now? And then Friday on rounds two through seven on Saturday. We're going to talk all this stuff. We're going to talk about Rangers' needs, head coaching philosophy, how it fits. And, of course, the prospects that we like, dislike, and what could be a right fit, at, especially in the first round for our three picks. We got the number one first-round pick at number nine. As we speak, it could change, but as of now, we're going to speak at what we got right now at number nine. And also we got our picks later on in the first round from Boston and also Tampa Bay. We'll talk about that 26th and 28th, if whatever is going to be available. Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, and Ranger.Proud on Instagram. And, of course, writer for Elite Sports New York. RP, what's going on, sir? How's everything?
Hey, Steve. How's it going tonight? How's everything?
Should be a fun one, a fun episode. How's everything, sir?
Going good. Doing the same thing you're doing. Checking, see what's out there, what the Rangers may not do. A lot of different options.
You know, and also I forgot to say, I might want to try to get to this at the end of the episode about the top Rangers coaches, going a little bit of different direction outside of the NHL draft, talk about the top Rangers coaches in the franchise's history. We'll do that a little bit later. Have some fun with that. Well, RP, let's look at it like this. Before we get into the process, tell the audience the Rangers need by position or at just the type of player. If you was to say, okay, the Rangers need this, they need this. If you had like a short shopping cart of actual needs they need to get and you need to pick it off the shelf at the grocery store, what do the Rangers need? What type of player or whether on offense, defenseman, even if you want to add on goalie, where do you think the Rangers need? And then we'll get into the prospects of it all after that.
The Rangers definitely need a big, fast-skating goal scorer, which is what every team needs, but the Rangers truly need, on the offensive side of it, someone who put the puck in the net, someone who's a great two-way player. I don't want to say it's the ultimate hockey player, but the Rangers are in need of a few solid offensive players on this team who start putting the puck in the net. This scoring by committee over the last three seasons, really hasn't worked out well. So, as you're saying, what the Rangers' needs are, the problem with going over the draft, the only real problem I can see is we don't know in what direction the Rangers organization wants to go. They also need a sturdy, sound defenseman on the blue line. So their needs, unfortunately, are on both sides. So the question we all have to ask is, are the Rangers going to go offense first? Are the Rangers going to look defense first? Are they just going to take the best person available when that time comes up? And then, Steve, when is that time going to come up? Are they going to try to trade to move up? Are they going to maybe move down and get some more picks and some maybe players or for another team that could step right into the lineup now? So there's a lot going on that we're really in the dark on. But I would think they were probably looking more offense than defense, unless there's that one person in their head that's like, hey, if he's available at nine, we're going to jump all over him.
That would go against the best player available thing. Because if you run into that scenario in the first round where you want to go maybe defense, but there's an offensive player you just can't pass up on, that would go against their board, right? That's something that's, okay, we may have to trust what we believe in scouting. We must believe in what and our analysis on grading these players. So in a situation like that, you think they're going to trust their board? So you're saying that's what you're saying, basically. They're going to trust their board.
I would think they would trust their board. I mean, I'm just going to throw a hypothetical. If a kid like Brady Tkachuk fell down to nine, if the Rangers don't trade up, they may be saying all along, we want a defenseman, we want a strong defenseman that's going to lead the team with Brady Shea and with the youth of the team. Oh, Kachuk's available. Well, wait a minute now. Now, do we want to go offense? How can we pass up this opportunity? You really, it's really the X factor of the direction that they want to go in. Because it's not like other teams on, hey, we're really good on defense. We use one or two good forwards, so that's how we're going to lean, regardless of the board. We're going to get the best forward that's available at that time or the best center that's available at that time. The Rangers need on both sides. So you really don't know how they're going to go until they see what is available when their selection comes up. On top of that, if they, on the board, really want to get like Brady Tkachuk or someone in that top five, well, then mm-hmm. they have two boards. If we can trade up and if we don't trade up. So there's a lot. It's just not as simple as, oh, we're going to take three first-round draft picks. Remember, those bottom draft picks, those 26th and 28th in this year's draft, is a high-end second-round pick. That's not knocking them, but they're so young, they're not going to be NHL ready for 2-3 years. So it might help another team if the Rangers should say, well, let's just see, hypothetically, they're going to make a trade with Arizona. We'll give you our 9 and our 28 and 26. You're going to give me, what is it, either their 4th or 5th. I don't have the list in front of me. They may look at something like that, or maybe they give the 9 and the 26 and a second round. The Rangers, the advantage to the 10 picks is the Rangers have a lot of flexibility of what they can offer. You know, the Rangers could turn to someone and go, well, I'm going to give you my 9, the 28, and relax, fans, it's just a rumor, and Matt Zuccarello. And you're going to give me your 4th round and maybe your 2nd round next, your 1st pick in the 2nd round. They really have a great opportunity to get a strong 1st round pick and keep some other picks in reserve to help improve the team. So for the Rangers, considering the year they had and where we're looking to follow with a rebuild or under construction, if you want to call the team, they have a lot of options, so it's not as clear as what some other teams might be doing.
Oh, absolutely, man. I thought about that. There's a lot of options on the table. Looking at, there's a lot of factors that goes into this. It's not just the current players that's going to be back for 2018 and 2019. It's about Gordon and then just maybe, it's probably more his decision than anything. I'm not going to say Sather's got more. He may have some influence on it, and I'm not exactly sure where the head coach relies in on this. The head coach is probably going to bring something into this where I've heard a lot of his piece before this process, after being signed as the head coach for the Rangers. You know, he wants, like he says on, like he said in several interviews, he kind of wants to play this fast game, puck pursuit, puck possession type of game, limit the turnovers, have a structural defense on top of it. And getting those players to do it, not if they can, but will they do it with the philosophy he has in place. I look at this roster, man, and I mean, we have a lot of improvement, man. I mean, whether Jimmy Vesey, he's played a little bit better towards the end of the last year, but I mean, we could upgrade anything on this position. I don't think nothing's safe. So when I asked you this question earlier, and then I'm gonna go through what I think the Rangers need, based off what we saw last year, and we're kind of pretty much on the same page. And I thought, hands down, they needed elite scoring on the wing. Somewhere, whether it's on another line from Kreider or maybe opposite Kreider, just another go-get-it elite scorer on the wing who could put the puck in the net. I mean, it was clearly, obviously, they just didn't have that at all. And I'm like with you, man. They need a stay-at-home, physical, puck possession type of defenseman. A young guy you could groom, somebody who's preferentially, I would like somebody who's bigger. We got a lot of smaller guys already. I mean, we got Pionk and Gilmore, guys like that. But if you're going to go that route, there's guys in the draft you could get that fits the bill.
Right.
I also want a playmaker as well, man. Someone, playmaker, penalty killer, one or the other, either both, and somebody that's really tough-minded. Tough defensive minded, not necessarily play all three zones. I mean, that would be great. That would be a dream. But you need somebody who's going to take some hits out. Is going to be very defensive minded, because the Rangers were really weak up the middle, man. This whole year, man, it was just painful to watch a lot of these games. But that's the way I looked at it. But it really starts with the elite scorer. Now, I think RP, I don't know if they're going to get that in the draft, or if they do, either that will come in the draft or even somewhat in free agency. I know there's been talks. We've talked about this before. Kovalchuk, I get that. If that happens to be on the table, that might be something for a short-term deal. But we could roll with Zibanejad in the middle. I don't think he's a true number one center, but it's probably center by committee. I don't know what's going to pan out with free agency and what they got waiting in the wing. So, RP, let's really get into this discussion with the prospects. Give me a guy that's probably going to be there available for at number nine that the Rangers should get. I mean, I got a few guys in mind, but let's start with you.
So
as far as what prospects with you. And I think we might have some of the same players after watching a lot of the tape and research and what kind of character these guys got. Who do you have that's possible that the Rangers might be if he's available at number nine?
I had a couple of guys I wrote about yesterday that I'm hoping to be around nine. They're all in the same skill level, a little bit better, a little bit weaker. But the first guy I had was Oliver Wahlstrom from USA Hockey League. He's a center. He's 6'1", 205 pounds. He played 26 games last year, 22 goals, 45 points. And on my report, just to tell you, Steve, just as references, I looked at the rankings that the NHL Central Scouting gave, and TSN Bob McKenzie, who's pretty much dead on with his numbers and reporting it all, and both of them had him ranked at number seven. So you would think if things go the right way and the Rangers don't move up, he could be there at number nine. He's 18 years old. Most of these guys in this year's draft are about 18, 19 years old, and there's a significant drop-off from 10 down in the draft. Now, the problem with that, Steve, is, of course, people have players rated differently. I may have someone at number 10 that you may have at number 8. So that's kind of a little deceiving. But just based on those numbers, I like Wahlstrom. And for defense, I'm really high on Noah Dobson. He's a 17-year-old. He played in the Swedish league. He played against adults last year. Much different style of game on the international level than the American level. Central Scouting had him ranked number 2, and McKenzie had him ranked at number 6. And he played 25 games last year. He had 14 goals and 24 points. He's a really good defenseman, a two-way man. He's really good at making adjustments throughout the game. He's really good in his all end of the ice, so he can handle himself. And like we said, two different guys, Steve, right? A center and a defenseman, just on my two suggestions here, both needed on either end of the spectrum for the Rangers. So, you know, I had a couple of others too, another defenseman and Adam Boqvist, who was another strong defenseman, played in Sweden. He skates sort of like an Erik Karlsson he's been compared to. Has a really good shot. He's a good playmaker. He's a very good passer, but once again, 17 years old. What do you have?
We have similar players. Let me say it like this. I have a whole bunch of crop guys, and I have a ranking system of who I think would fit based off what I saw, watched a lot of their video, their tapes. We had to go to some of those teams' websites to get some footage. Well, Oliver Wahlstrom is probably my number one available wing. He's not my number one wing as far as who the Rangers should get. If you know, all consider things equal, we're talking about projection availability, because there's certain wings that are better than him. I don't just don't think he's going. They're going to be around. We'll talk about those guys
right
later. Because I think they have a lot
exactly
of great games.
Yeah.
Now Oliver Wahlstrom
available at nine, right?
Right, and he fits the bill. He's up there. He's probably the number one available wing right now, and you probably have to go ahead and get him if he's available. He's a very good scoring threat, and underratedly, he's not too bad. He's pretty good on the penalty kill. He's very good. He can score. He can kill some penalties, which is you want that. You want that in a two-way player. And also, you watch him skating around. Whether he does some good, decent playmaking under the blue line in between the circles, I saw that he did a great job keeping his head up. He has a good skill set, RP, where he doesn't look down at the puck to get to his points as much as a lot of players would when they're skating fast. He's also not the fastest winger in the draft, but he's very crafty. He's very shifty. And when I saw a couple of plays where he went one-on-two on guy, that wasn't really fast or anything like that. It was really more so really like he has a deceiving first skate or first step, if whatever you want to call it in hockey. He has a very deceiving, like, oh, he got in between the guys quicker than people, the defenders thought he would. And he has good moves at the net where he could zeke, he could juke a guy, he could go around the net, set up another guy, he could probably go with the forehand. He has moves to beat the goaltender, and he could score on either side of the circles. I watched a lot of that with him where he was either on the right side or left side. He's comfortable with a shot. I think a lot of Rangers fans, there was a couple of Rangers fans that even put that on social media when reached out to us as far as who they wanted on the picks. They said the same thing as far as Wahlstrom, because as far as availability, if he's there, the Rangers should definitely consider it, man, especially a guy you could probably put right away on the third line, start the season, maybe moves his way up to the second line if everything goes well, if he develops. You never know. So he's a right away play in the NHL type of player. Now, you said, who else did you say? You said Noah Dobson, right?
I said Noah Dobson, yeah.
Yeah, he's a very – he's one of the best pure defenders in the draft, in the top 15. Now, if you're talking about – now, that's the type of guy we're talking about as far as you want somebody to really offset what we kind of already have. Neil Pionk is kind of a good skater, could usually shoots the puck at the net as far as that from the point. Shattenkirk, whenever he comes back, kind of a similar type of player as a Pionk, maybe a little bit different. But as far as pure defenders, which we need, and if the Rangers believe in that and they feel that's where we need to get stronger, and I think defensemen especially, we need to get stronger. Now that, you know, Marcel, he's in his 30s. That's something that we – and then what else is I like about Noah Dobson as well, watching his footage, is that he does set up a lot of people on offense. He's not going to go get you goals, but he'll definitely get you to the points and assists. He's going to set guys up. So
right.
I'm with you on Dobson as far as defensemen. And I saw Adam Boqvist. He's very young. Yeah, he's definitely got to get stronger, of course. But watching him in his Swedish playing for Sweden – I mean, this guy can skate, man. I mean, this guy's he glides on the ice, man. He's a very good trailer. There's some plays where a lot of when you're already in the zone and you're already setting the point at an attack, people kind of forget that he's coming across the blue line. He'll get deep to get the shot off, man. He has an excellent shot. I'll tell you like this, RP, when it comes to Adam Boqvist. I think already, maybe outside of Shattenkirk, he probably, if the Rangers were to get him, he'll probably have the best shot on the team from the defenseman standpoint. He has a great shot. He has an excellent forehand.
Yeah,
he goes good. He's very great. He's very good with going top shelf on there, but he's a very superb, excellent skater. And then from the point, it's very effortlessly. It's only going to get better at his young age. So, outside of Shattenkirk and Pionk, we kind of already have that. So we're kind of unless the Rangers feel they have some more plans for him, I don't even think he's going to be there at 9. But even if it was and Wahlstrom was there, I would go Wahlstrom, honestly, over than what we already currently have. If they feel that Dobson is going to fit the bill as defenseman, I agree with that. You may want to go that route as well. You can always go defenseman as well later on in the draft as well. What are the advantages of going those? We'll start with those three guys. What are the advantages of Wahlstrom, Boqvist, Dobson that you would see fit with the Rangers, and knowing what you know of Dave Quinn's system of fitting all this in and putting this all together? And then we could go through some other prospects that I actually really love too.
I got to tell you, I think all of them would fit in with Quinn's system. He, you know, from reading, like I said, I didn't watch a lot of BU games at all, but from reading what everyone else has said, from, you know, Brady Tkachuk, who played for him last year, and he's probably going to go top 4 or 5 this year in the draft, to Kevin Shattenkirk, this guy holds all his players accountable, but he's really good at getting the best out of the players. And I think anybody coming out of the draft, going right up, even if it's just in training camp or at the prospect camp, they're going to learn from Quinn. He's that kind of coach. He's not, you know, he expects a lot, but he understands that there are going to be mistakes made because that's part of the growing process. And I think as a young guy coming up, that's awesome to know. That, you know, if I make a mistake, I'm not going to be looking behind my shoulder. I'm not going to get benched. I'm not going to get sent back down immediately. Most likely, you are going to get sent down, but that learning curve is going to be there. And I think for a player, that's just great to know that, you know, I can give it my all, and if I make a mistake, as long as I don't repeat those mistakes, it's harder to come up as a defenseman than as a forward in the National Hockey League. It's just the way it is right now. So a kid like Dobbs, you know, it'll be great. He's a good hockey player now. He'll learn so much more under Quinn. And all these guys coming up, like we said, from 9 and up, maybe they can make NHL this year. The Rangers are thin on defense to an extent. So if someone has a really superb training camp, or if there's something that Quinn and the organization sees, maybe it'll work out. But I think from a draft standpoint, any player coming up at this young age, getting that first time at Madison Square Garden or in a professional training camp, Quinn's going to take them in and they're going to get something out of it. Now, not to say they didn't when Vigneault was there, Steve, but it was a different circumstance. He was more of a veteran type of a coach. You're getting a guy out of college. This is what they want. He's a head coach now, but he still has his adjustments. He still has his attitude towards the kids, how he wants to teach them at the same time as watch them excel. So I think the Rangers are going to be in a good shape, whoever they pull out of these 10 picks.
I want to fast forward a little bit. I take that back, what I said earlier, because I totally forgot, because I was looking at my draft board as you were speaking. I said, wait a minute, hold up. I have a game plan to this. Now, I believe RP, now that I think about it, if he's there, you take him, and we can always address defenseman later. There's a defenseman I like later on in the first round that I know you're saying that you got to groom him up, you got to prep him, you have to send him down. I get all that, and that's what we're going to do. But I really like Keandre Miller. I watched a lot of his tape over the last couple of weeks. And I think there's a lot of these guys, we can't – and I'm not saying you. I'm just saying all sports. You draft on your draft board. You draft what you think is going to be best as far as your scouting, your analysis. I'm going on Wahlstrom first. I'm going first with we need to score him. Let's get that out the way. If he's there, we taking him. And if that's right, and if he's there, we have our pick of the litter. We could get defensemen later on in the first round. We could probably address that later because you got to check out Keandre Miller. He played for Team USA, RP. And he's huge, man. You have him on your board, too, because he's a huge defenseman. He's interchangeable. You know what he reminds me of a little bit? And he happens to be from Minnesota. Let me tell you and see if you can take a guess of who he kind of reminds me of as far as being from Minnesota. He's being kind of a big guy, defenseman. You know what his style of play kind of reminds me of? Maybe not as great of a skater as this guy I'm thinking of. Take a guess.
He plays from Minnesota?
This player originally is from Minnesota. He doesn't play in Minnesota. He's originally from the state of Minnesota. Stanley Cup champion. I'll give you another clue. Conference final this year.
Conference final this year. So was he a Capital or a Lightning?
Western Conference.
Western Conference. Excuse me. I'm always saying. That was the Knights and
it was the Knights and the Jets.
Now you got me thinking too much. And
Winnipeg
who? Oh, and the Jets. Dustin McGufflin.
That's right. But this guy is a little bit more not as good skater as Dustin Byfuglien, but as far as offensively, as far as good hands, good pace, as far as could be interchangeable. Dustin Byfuglien was a very interchangeable player when he was coming out of high school. And he also, when he went to Chicago, when he got called up from Chicago, I don't think he's a scoring machine like that. But you got to watch Keandre Miller's tape. And I think he's a lot of the analysis from the scouts, from what they say, he could be a steal. And he's a huge target, RP. 6'4", 206 pounds, man. Good stay-at-home defenseman. He's a lefty shot, and I think You can move him up to a forward position if you have to. He can play at home if he puts on the weight. I think he has the upside to be a top four defenseman in this league. And I think that's the route I would go with Wahlstrom in, at number nine. If he's there, and Keandre Miller, a good experience with all those good players from Team USA this past year. Excellent, excellent player, man. Definitely go that route at 26 or 28.
My counter to your player, another defenseman who I really like, maybe a little bit better than Dobson, though I really like Noah Dobson, is Evan Bouchard from the OHL.
Yep.
Defense, 6'2", 193 pounds, 19 years old, which in this draft is on the older side of the spectrum. His numbers were a little bit interesting. He had 87 points in the CHL. He led all blue liners. He had almost the most shots taken by any defenseman last year. Really good skating, as everybody else needs a little bit work in his own end, but he's young. My only difference in if these two guys were available is why is there such a difference in everybody's rankings from the player you mentioned. This guy, Bouchard, probably won't be available because he's rated fourth and fifth, depending on who you look at.
Right.
Both of them look good. Both of them look good. One is a little bit younger. One played in the U18, as you said, hockey. So he probably has a few more years before he'd be ready to pop up, which isn't a bad thing. You know, the only thing that you have to look at is you would hope that your first round, your ninth overall first round pick, you would hope would be able to come up within two, maybe 3 years at the absolute most. Otherwise, it's really hard to improve if you're not getting someone close. Now, the player you're just mentioning might be available toward the end of the first round, and that'd be another steal if the Rangers have those picks. So it's really, it's fun to go through this, but it's really hard. I see people doing mock trials and mock drafts and all. Really hard to do, as you can see, Steve, because we
but
don't know what they're thinking.
Well,
it is. No, it's fun. There's a lot of talent out there. There is a lot of talent out there. I'm just noticing this because I wrote a report on who might be available. For one reason or another, there were a lot of defensemen at that spot. But if we just jumped off for a moment, what's your theory on Brady Tkachuk? Is he a top five player? Do you think he drops down to seven or eight?
I don't think you think he's going to drop. I don't think so. I watched his tape.
I don't think he's going to drop. But I got a feeling that Arizona and Ottawa are going to toy with it around to try to make the trade.
It's possible.
I really do.
It's possible.
I think if they could, I think they might be looking for someone to go in a lineup now that could really make a difference. And that would mean if it was trading with the Rangers, they're going to have to give up a Rouse to player. But I don't think the Rangers should have any doubts. I think the Rangers should make any trade they could, believe it or not, to get up to possibly get it. I just don't think that, other than maybe three forwards on the team, I don't think anyone is, like, off limits. And maybe that's just me, but I really, after all this struggle and what's gone on over the past seasons, and we haven't really won anything, I don't really think anybody's off limits. I'm sure there were a couple, if I really looked at it, I might change on it, but especially offensive side of the puck, I think the Rangers would be silly not to try to move up. I don't know, and I mean, I like the Tkachuk, and I'm high on him. I don't know if he had that immediate impact, though everybody's saying that he would, but I think the Rangers would, you know something, try for it. First of all, if he played for Quinn, which would be a huge...
I know, I was just about to say that. Could have Dave Quinn vouch for that?
Which is a huge... You know, he'd have Quinn, Shattenkirk played for him. Now Quinn gets a little bit more comfortable because he knows a few guys, you know, Kreider's from Boston. It makes everything gel together a little bit. So, I mean, Quinn's spoken highly of him and likes the way he's played. He's ranked very high. He's Central Scouting had him second, and Bob McKenzie had him fourth. So, I mean, he's up there.
Did you see the tape?
Five picks. Yeah, I've seen a lot of his tape. He's fun. Let me tell you.
Tell the audience about his tape. Like, I'll tell you
I've seen all different tapes. He reminds me a lot of his father. Keith Chico played for Phoenix, amongst other teams, or Arizona, wherever we're calling him. He is a fast, shifty kid. And I think he would fit great in on the New York Rangers organization. I think he'd fit great scoring goals for the team. He's feisty. He likes to hit. He's an all-around player. And, you know, that would be excitement that would just get the team going. That's what they need. They need a jump spark. You know, Steve, they need that one guy that's going to come down there with no fear and just play. Whether he's a rookie or whether he's been here for 3 years, he's just going to go there and play his game that he's played over and over. So, I mean, if you're asking me if I want him, I would jump all over him. I just, unfortunately, because of the Rangers, because they don't think that he's going to be available at 9, they're not really talking about him a lot in New York. You know what I'm saying? I think the only way the Rangers get him is if they trade up, and they got to trade up far.
You think it's worth it?
I would trade the 9 and the other 2 first-round picks to go up in this year's draft, yeah. Because personally, I really don't think the 26 and 28 first-rounders are going to be available for 2 or 3 years. I think they're higher-end second-round picks. That's not knocking them, like I said earlier. It's just the caliber of players available in the draft. And I also think it does not pay to move up from 9, let's say, to 6, and then you can't get the guy that you want. So you know what I mean? If you're going to draft up, you have to move all the way up and make it worth your while. Now, what is it going to cost? It's going to cost you a roster player. So you have Ben Go, Steve, and Brady Tkachuk work that. Is he worth maybe, you know, you're going to swap the first round picks. So is he worth the other 2 or maybe the one out of the 2 first round picks the Rangers have, maybe a second round pick? And allows to play. You don't know how much you want to give. You don't want to give away the whole farm either for this one player. But if you're looking for that spark in your lineup, you know, we're taking gambles now anyway. They're doing the rebuild. We're moving around. They're really not anticipating making the playoffs this year unless a lot of things fall together. Maybe you do something crazy for a change. The Rangers never do anything crazy in the draft. Let's be realistic. It would be, for them to move up would be just a statement that they're really trying to go for it. And that's what I want to see. I want to see the effort. It doesn't work out. You know what I'm saying, Steve? But you can't think, no one can say, well, Gorton didn't try to do it. He's trying to make the moves. You know, he's making his little moves now. They're getting ready. I'm sure they have a better game plan than we know. But I would definitely like to see them move up. If you could get up into that 5th pick, you got a hell of a chance. And if you don't get Tkachuk, you're going to get someone else who's pretty damn good. So the top 5 in this draft are really the entire draft.
I hear you, man. If the Rangers believe that that is their guy and they feel that need to go up and get their guy, why not? Don't pump fake. Go ahead and get your guy. As far as Brady Tkachuk, I mean, we already know he comes from a hockey family. You mentioned that his father played for the Coyotes. So you know you got that kind of going with him, and you know he played for Dave Quinn at Boston U. So you know it's familiarity when it comes to the recruiting. You've been with the guy for a couple of years on the bench as a head coach. So if there's anybody that's a safe pick from the coach's point of view, it's definitely going to be Brady Tkachuk. So what I like about him, I don't think he's going to be available, is the fact that the guy, he could see the ice very well. That for his speed and his vision, and then he could shoot it with the best of them at the wing position. I think he's even graded to me. I think he's better than Oliver Wahlstrom. Wahlstrom is more of a crash and burn type of Chris, a poorer man's Chris Kreider. He's fearless when it comes to that. Tkachuk is your prototype winger for the NHL, and he's quick and he's very smart as well. I just don't think he's going to be available, so that's why I didn't really think I would have had include him in my initial draft board. Too talented. I think he'll definitely go to several spots above where the Rangers are selecting. Other players that I thought that we could discuss, it's just on a winger level. I talked about this guy right before the Stanley Cup playoffs. He has a lot of upside. I'm not talking about number 9. I'm talking about later in the, if the Rangers don't do nothing, if they stick at 26, 28. Sarah Noel is really intriguing to me, RP. I really like Sarah Noel as well. I like big, offensive wingers who could score. And he's very he's 6'5", 200 pounds. He's a very natural goal scorer. He's a power-type skater. He works hard. He has good work ethic. He has a lot of upside. He, especially in the NHL, if you go up against the right defensive pairing RP, he could really out-muscle a lot of these younger defensemen, or smaller defensemen, per se. The only thing I do, he has some weaknesses in his game, and I think he's one of those type of players that if it breaks right for him in his career, he could actually he could probably be borderline all-star, could make that type of impact in the NHL because he has a great presence, RP. He knows he has good puck awareness, and he moves to the net very, very well, man, RP. I really like Sarah Noel. I mentioned his name before we started doing the playoff episodes, talking about who I think should be available. And Noel is one of those guys, I think, on a wing level, they might be able to get him and also one of the defensemen I already mentioned. So what other players as well? Let me tell you about a player I do like as well. I don't think he's going to be available because I think he's a very, very good player for Team USA, and that's Joel Farabee. I thought he was very, very great tape. He has great explosiveness. He has a quick pivot, one of the awesome wrist shots you're going to have in the draft, who's also a southpaw. And he hustles so fast through that neutral zone, and he can elude a lot of those defensemen or even the wingers that try to put a body on him. And one-on-one, he's very excited. I don't think he's going to be available, RP. I don't know if you saw Joel Farabee's tape for Team USA, man, but it's possible. Depending on the rankings on which scout you're talking about and what kind of guy, what kind of player you want to build for your organization. What other guys do you like, RP? I have some other guys that not necessarily might be for the Rangers, but just exciting as far as prospects.
And the prospect, I like Barrett Hayton.
Yeah.
He's a center, 6'1", 190 pounds.
I'm familiar with him.
Big skater. You know, 21 goals and 60 points last year. I really like his style skating. I like the way he handles himself on the ice. And, you know, all these kids are young. All these kids all need a little bit more work in, you know, the defensive end of the zone. But you know that going in when you're drafting, especially in this year's draft. So I don't really hold that accountable at all because everybody's sort of in the same boat. excuse me. And another guy, we're going, of course, back to defenseman is from Michigan, NCAA, Quinn Hughes, another style of defenseman. Needs a little bit of work, really gifted skater. I wrote about him in my piece the other day. I thought he definitely would make an impact. He might be available. He's one of those players that are right on the cusp, right in the middle. And, you know, it also depends what some other teams do, but what Chicago does. You know, they may go way off the rankings to pick someone 15th or 19th. Which opens up more opportunity for the Rangers, you know, to get someone else that they, you know, have on their board. So, but I think Hughes is played well. He might be the best skater in this year's draft. He has a really good on-ice presence. He knows what's going on all around him, which is something for a defenseman is great. He loves to jump into the play, Steve, because he can get back. He's so fast. A little bit, I don't want to say like a Ryan McDonough. Definitely want to say like a Brian Leetch. But that style of play where he'll rush into the offensive zone, and then he can turn the Jets to get the play. It's exciting hockey to watch. It's what the Rangers need. They need to get back to their old style. They kind of got caught in, do we want to be a hitting team? Do we want to be a scoring team? And they turn up being none of that for one reason or for another. So these are the type of players I think would be worked out really well. He likes to make that stretch pass, which Rangers fans love to watch, and gives you a lot of two-on-ones, a lot of good breakout opportunities and all. So I watched a lot of his tape. He looked really well. And then, like you said, then there's, you know, a bunch of guys, at least in the top 15, that, you know, all one point over, all look good, but all have some flaws too. So we're just discussing today where we think the Rangers, will have available at the number 9 spot, because right now, we know for sure at least they're picking 9. But I'm sure you know who's going to go probably number 1 to Buffalo and probably number 2 to Montreal. I don't know if you want to talk about those guys.
But, we can go that route. We can talk about him. What do you think?
Roger Dahlin from Philander, he's a defenseman. He's going to go number one overall. They've been talking about this kid for the last 2 years. He is the top player in the draft, ranked number one. Any way you look at all, a really solid defenseman. He's the player, which if you think about it, Steve, Buffalo seems to always draft but never gets better. He's another player that's NHL ready to come in. And you would think somewhere along the line, Buffalo has to start getting better. They're going to have Eichel. Now they're going to have Dahlin. I mean, they have these players, and it's just for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem to work out for them. But, you know, eventually it's got to get better. I mean, it did for Edmonton after all these years of first-round picks, and it didn't work out. So Dahlin's going to go number one. He's going to go to Buffalo. And Montreal's got a choice of two really good players. Both forwards, you figure that's what Montreal's looking anyway. One is Andre Stevachenkov, who played in the OHL, another solid hockey player, 44 games, 40 goals, and 72 points. A lot of speed. He's NHL ready, you know, to step right in and help. And then the third top player that I've been reading is a Philip Zadina. I don't know much about him. He's from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. From Halifax,
he can score,
right,
man.
Winger.
That guy can score.
He can score 50. You know, those two, the last, as I mentioned, you know, 82 points, 72 points. These guys can light the lamp. So,
oh yeah,
Buffalo, Montreal, they have some really good opportunities to get themselves back. At least for Montreal, they should be able to get something good out of this and jumpstart their program again.
Yeah, you mentioned him. I mean, I just don't think he's going to be available. That's just wishful thinking. That's just tease. I would just be wasting time. But just to watch his tape, he is lightning fast. He's got a quick shot. He's clever around the net in the sense of but the goalie doesn't even know when the shot is coming because he has such a strike that it's really hard to, like, just to make make up ground. And if you get the right playmaker for that guy, it's just pretty much lights over, man. I was just watching a lot of his tapes, just like, wow. I hope whatever team he plays on is just not in our division, because there'll be a lot of long nights because you could just see the talent in the upside. You brought up Barrett Hayton, and that was another guy. You know, I'm all for the wings. I don't think the Rangers are going to go center. I mean, they could. I don't see it, but I like this game, too, because he's definitely a two-way player with a lefty shot as well. He has an excellent wrist shot as well. Watch this tape where he's good with setting up people, and his vision on his passes was excellent, pretty damn good for a center, man, as
right.
It needs to be on that level. He played the power play very well off the deflections. He played the front of the net on a lot of the power plays in that league, in the OHL. With the right play, I don't think he has the speed, so he's kind of have to get to his spots effectively. But Barrett Hayton was a very good player. I wouldn't count him out. I don't think the Rangers are going to go that route, but I definitely kept tabs on him when I was doing his research on as far as a prospect. But then you mentioned some good names, man. I don't know if you we mentioned Joe Valino as well. He was excellent as well. He was a power play monster coming up as well. I think we covered a lot of the main guys. Go say what?
I was saying he's another player from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. He got a good shot. He has scored some points too. Another center. You know, there's a lot of strong players available in that 6 to 11 ranking, you know, stage. So it's going to be interesting to see how the draft unfolds. If the Rangers decide to move, you know, do the Rangers decide to use all three first picks? It's a distinct possibility, too. You know, some
That's
picks, if they want to use it as trade bait later on, did they have, you know, with 10 picks, as long as they're not wasted, they're going to get something out of this. So that's what the Rangers fans are hoping for.
Now, I mentioned Keandre Miller as one of the picks I would use at 26-28, depending if the Rangers don't trade up in the draft. or whatever they do, whatever they have with teams. There's other guys I also considered at 26-28, depending on availability. Jesse Jalonen from Finland. I don't know if you may have saw him play in the World Championships, but his father played for the Arizona Coyotes as well. We talked about the Tkachuk guy, the Keith's son. But this guy for the Jesse Jalonen for the Finland team, he was a great passer. He did well on the forecheck. He's got good skating, his pivot abilities with the skate, because he's not really the biggest guy, but his height and his weight, where he can make a lot of maneuverability along the boards, and he could get out of trouble a lot, and he was good with the puck along the boards. And he was a pest as well, man. And he gave you a lot of effort for that Finland team. I would consider him if he's there, and I think he's probably a high two, low one type of pick. Ryan McLeod from Mississauga, another center that in the draft, a 6'2 guy who's 200 plus pounds. He finishes through the shot. Like, he's good at shooting for about, I don't know, 15 to 16 feet out, right? But he will follow. He doesn't just take a shot and follow through. He takes a shot, follow through, and crashes the net and goes after the puck for rebounds. He does it all in one shot. He was very good on the power play for Mississauga. And on his passing ability, he has a little bit of no look to it, RP. He does a great job freezing the defensemen and also the wingers, man. There was a couple of his tape plays on his tape where the play they thought that he was going to go one way. He went the opposite, no look passes, man. It was great to see. I would consider him. I could see him maybe a third, fourth line center if we had room on the roster. Maybe call him up. So those are the type of guys I had in the first round, and later in the first round. Let me ask you this, because we're going to do a follow-up episode next week before the actual draft next Friday. What are the things, other prospects do you think, before we get into the head coaches stuff, what are the players going to other teams above the Rangers, who do you think could fall to the Rangers that we're all not seeing right now? I mean, I probably could say that question for next week, and it's probably something we could discuss even after the draft, even if it happens. What player we are not thinking about that's currently on everybody's top 10 that probably could fall? What's your thoughts? And what about even later in the draft as well? Middle round type of
thing. You know, I haven't really looked into the middle rounds. I'm not going to lie. I've been looking at what we're going to do, you know, in the first round. Not the middle rounds aren't as important. Just as it gets deeper into the draft, there's just less of the players that I know about. It's hard to say who would drop down. I can tell you that in past drafts, it doesn't go along with the rankings. So, for instance, you'll have a player that's ranked, Brady Tkachuk, just leaves. He's ranked fourth and second in scoutings. In years past, a player like that might fall to 6 or 7. Now, it doesn't sound like a big enough drop, but what happens if he falls down to 6 or 7? It means a player that the Rangers might be looking at is a better opportunity to land him, because players are going to number 12 or number 15, or there's something they see from, you know, what we haven't discussed. They had the NHL Combine last week, and they get to see some more of these players doing activities and so forth. So there's always that opportunity that can happen. It's hard for me to say what player would drop, because as we don't know what the Rangers are looking for, other than Buffalo and maybe Montreal, we don't know what Arizona's looking for and Ottawa's looking for and the Blackhawks are looking for, because we're not really up to, you know, following them that specifically. So I can't just come out and say, well, this guy would drop or this guy might not drop. Personally, just the way the rankings are, I'd love to see if Evan Bouchard would drop down into that 8 or 9 range where the Rangers may have a shot at him. We know the Chuck's probably not going to drop at all. I don't think anything in the top 4 is going to change player-wise from the rankings. After that, you know, you might see Oliver Wallstrom available, Steve. You just don't know what the other teams are looking for. The other thing that I've read in a lot of reports is that Wallstrom, Dobson, Hughes, and maybe Boquist, they're pretty much interchangeable aside from positions. But ranking, style, their level of play and being ready to come into the NHL – or all within one another. So that again might go, are you taking the best player on the board, that you have, or you're taking just the best player available. It's kind of tight, and then after the Rangers pick, it sort of falls off a little bit. So it's going to be fun to see what they do. I really think they're going to move up, or they're going to try to move up. It just depends what the other teams are asking for.
Yeah. All right, well, we could definitely further along continue this conversation next week. Now, let's talk about the head coaches. I think I saw something about your top head coaches in Rangers history. Just to go in a different direction, I would assume the Stanley Cup winning coaches were on that list.
They were on the list. Just
how high up on the list?
I had Keenan number one.
Okay. Yeah, Keenan number one. Okay.
My Keenan won the last cup that the Rangers won. I went Keenan, just to tell you how I rated the seven. I went Keenan, Emil Francis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back and forth on my thing here. Alain Vigneault was number three.
Right.
Mr. Patrick.
Yep.
The patriarch of the Rangers was four.
Yeah, back in the 20s and 30s,
Right, and then it bounced around. I had Tortorella 5, I had Frank Boucher 6, and I had Roger Nielsen 7.
You had Nielsen over Herb Brooks,
top
huh?
7, but now, huge Herb Brooks fan, but when you look at the wins and the way some of the other players were, I put Roger Nielsen above Herb Brooks. Took a little heat from it from some people I knew, and it was just how I wrote it. There was no right or wrong, it's just that's how I felt it went. So I was Roger Nielsen brought a lot to the game too. Mr. Video, he's the one that started watching plays of games and watching videos of other teams and breaking teams down. He brought that more the technology of it up. Herb Brooks did it with film like old football teams used to do, and Roger Nielsen kind of brought the technology along with them. That was just my opinion. He also had 280 regular season wins and so forth. He was around a little bit longer, so. But it was a fun piece to write. There's no right or wrong. It was just a hunch. I try to spread it out a little bit. People kind of question why Mike Keenan was up there. But you want to know something? He was the last guy to win the Cup, so I gave him that over an Alain Vigneault, who was here a lot longer but didn't get a Cup, even though he made it to the two Eastern Conference Finals. And Tortorella, I was a big fan of, too. It was kind of feeling out, I changed it a couple of dozen times. I got the seven in the order I wanted, but it was a good piece, and it from a really good, I thought, a really good history of the Ranger coaches over the last 92 years.
Right, right. Good list, man. I mean, I don't definitely disagree with the who's in there. The Stanley Cup winners, of course. Keenan was there for the short time, but hey, when you get the Cup, you got it. You definitely get boosted up somewhere up on that list, man. So definitely good list. Anything else from the NHL draft? Are you looking forward to next week that you would like to say? I mean, we probably could address that also next week on the next week's episode when we do a Bart Deuce with this. If there's ever any scenarios we probably could address, I think we've covered a lot of the prospects that we would like for our team. We didn't really necessarily get into the other teams. Maybe I'll dwell on that a little bit next week on what fits could be for the other squads. I know the Islanders have a lot of picks too. But anyway, nonetheless, anything else you'd like to add before we get into some final thoughts?
No, I tell you, hopefully next week you might have a better idea of have the Rangers been trying to make a trade to move up. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be done on trade day. It'll probably be closer to trade day, but you might have rumors, speculation of what the Rangers are looking at or who they're looking at. Whatever they do, it just needs to be in a positive way because it's a huge part of this rebuild. Whoever the Rangers take at 9 needs to, if not this season, ready to come towards the end of the season and into next season to start to make that difference. You don't want to draft a guy and then he's not ready to come up in 3 years. So the Rangers have to be careful with their picks, especially 3 first-round picks. That's why I tend to believe they might move one of those 3 first-round picks to get someone ready now. I think fans need to prepare that you're probably going to see another roster player or two get traded, at least before the start of training camp. I don't think the Rangers were done when the trade deadline came. Zuccarello's name keeps getting thrown up out there. And that mainly has to do with his contract, Steve. You know, an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. You're not going to drag it out again the way it's happened with other players. So that, to me, might even be more interesting if the Rangers make a move prior to the deadline, prior to draft or at the draft, than the draft itself.
All right, without further ado, man, I hear you, man. Final thoughts from RP on this episode, talking to prospects from Ranger Proud. And tell everybody how you can get you all your content.
As always, you'll get my contact on Facebook at Ranger Proud. Please follow my Twitter account. I got a lot more information on that lately. Seems to be flowing a lot smoother on Twitter at Ranger Proud. Instagram is Ranger.Proud. And, of course, I write my Ranger Proud on Elite Sports New York. Check it out. Pass the story along. Share it across social media, please, because it is great pages. I appreciate it. And, you know, something like I wrote the other day, it's time for the Rangers to get to work. Congrats to the Capitals on winning the Cup. But now it's time for the Rangers to start putting this season together, get this pieces, and let's see where they all fit.
All right. This is Ranger Proud and Steve, man, the Ring Podcast, talking to prospects. This episode, of course, is going to be on iTunes Podcast, Republic Tuning, your Stitch Raps, and on the website, BleedBlueShow.com. A pretty fun episode. It's good to get your brain. I think we've been on the same page for the most part, man. We're looking at the similar, what these Rangers players could be as a fit and the need, man. Man, good episode, man. It was good talking to you, man.
Yeah, you too. I appreciate it. Good talk.
Yes, sir, man. Sangre also, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.